Thank you, Jesus. All right, this is Sunday morning. It's just unbelievable. 11-7-21 already. Can you believe it? They stole the election over a year ago. Yeah. I remember thinking in the first week, I didn't think it was going to make it to the first day. But I know a lot's going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. I want to talk to you today about Christian protocol. All right, what is protocol? It's a code of correct conduct as Christians. Code of correct conduct. As Christians, we must learn how we are to do things in the kingdom of God. God's word is clearly defined on how he wants to handle things. Unfortunately, the Christian church is swayed by the world system over God's word. We've been infiltrated. Wishy-washy, undecisive. That's what I see. Unfortunately. As Christians, we should take a very hard stance against sin. The scripture clearly lays out that believers are not to have relationships with unbelievers. It seems to be so dangerous that the unbeliever begins to influence the believer instead of the other way around. That's why the scripture lays it down, not to have these alliances. Now, he does make allowances for us to take the gospel, and we're going to see that in scripture. But as far as hobnobbing, that right there is probably the number one reason, houses get infiltrated. Just believing you let anything and everything in your house. And this has been a hellacious week. Let me just say that. The warfare's been intense this week. All right, we're going to start looking at some scriptures here, and you'll get the gist of what I'm saying here. I put here John 1:17, verses 14-18. That's the kind of week I'm at. Now, I don't know if it's John 11, John 17, John 1. I guess I'll find out. Okay, let me look here. All right, it's not 1:17. Let's see if it's 17. All right, it is John 7:14. As Christians, we think that we have to accommodate everybody and everything and all their baggage. And I say that it's kind of like what Brother Fred Price used to say, about the bringing the snakes in your house. And you call me, want me to come get the snakes out of your house. When the UPS driver came to the door, you saw the box that said, "Snakes, do not open." All right, verse 14. "I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world." And he does not mean earth. He means this age. See, the earth's been turned upside down. It's operating the opposite of the way God wants it to. "I pray not that thou shalt take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." He's of the kingdom, just as we are. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world," or into the system, "even so have I also sent them into the world." Okay, let's look at another one. Matthew 6:13. "If you are the temple of the Holy Ghost and your temple is holy, then you need to act like it. You know? How many times have we gotten ourselves in trouble trying to help somebody do something for somebody? And really, we did it out of a Christian sense of guilt or obligation when the Lord said, I didn't say do that. The church is politically correct. And if you stand up and do what the Word says in some cases, they'll point a finger at you, throw stones at you, and say you're the one in the wrong. Well, we don't want to offend anybody. That's how we got in this hellhole we're in. Yeah. 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's part of the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. Well, I'm trying, but you keep letting the snakes in your house. With that, this is not in this, but this I had it this morning. Ephesians. I believe it's chapter 5. All right, we're going to start it with, I guess, 22. I like what the... Well, let's just start with verse 1 here, this whole chapter. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. See, in the world today, evil is good, and good is evil. And it's in the church, too. We have homosexual churches with homosexual pastors. What's wrong with this picture? For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's being screamed from the housetops from all our media sources, and I know we needed to hear the truth and see the truth. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. What happens when we fall asleep? The devil runs roughshod over everything. The homes, the churches, the government, entertainment, you name it. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You may have to do some hard things, and it may make you feel bad, but you're a fool if you don't. That's what it's saying. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Yeah. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Sounds like a pretty straight and narrow walk in fellowship with God and with one another. Then it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For as the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. In other words, this is a, men are protectors of the home. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. For as we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That's not popular today. No. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't be your children's abuser, but be your children's, be a leader. That's what men's role in children's life. Set a godly example as a protector, where it's a safe place. You know, you hear about these fathers that sell their children into human trafficking. I'm going, Lord, what is wrong with this picture? And they're so-called, some of them are preachers. There's a lady that goes about telling her story. She was in the porn industry, and she was in an abusive setting, and so she ran away and went to this big mega church pastor, and he sold her into slavery. Instead of helping her, he went and made a phone call and got one of his buds down there. And for another 10 years or so, she was in slavery. And she's in a jail. And she hears Joel Osteen bringing the gospel, and she gets born again in her jail cell. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. Woo, what are we going through now? Now OSHA's got their foot in it. Well, OSHA just got sued by Ken Paxton yesterday and won. Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. When we've got all these things in order, then he starts talking to us about putting on the armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, even though it looks like it. We don't wrestle. We're not wrestling with people here. We're the people that are being ugly are the ones that are under the control of the evil ones, the principalities and the powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This is what we need to do. This is our first responsibility as a Christian, is to keep the devil out. If it makes somebody mad and offends them, then I'm sorry. But this is my priority, to keep your out of my house. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now I realize we can't just go around, you know, being ugly to people, but you have a responsibility. And God gives us special grace to go and take the gospel when we have appointments. He never said to hobnob with the world or pal with the world. All right. The exception is when we are on evangelistic assignments, okay? And I want you to see this. Evangelistic assignments. God gives you extra bait, an extra lure, whatever, for the gospel. I'm going to get into this later, but if you ever wonder why the devil infiltrates the church? Because we take all the money and we make all these programs to entice the fish into the church. What do we need them in the church for? God said, go. Go. Then in Corinthians, it talks about if someone does stumble in, that's an unbeliever, God deals with them personally through the gifts of the Spirit. And you don't need to do anything. You don't have to have an altar call for 30 minutes to try to shame everybody. Raise your hand. You know, raise your hand. That's why you think, man, all these people are raising their hands. You'd think you'd see some change in their life, but there is none. It's because whenever God does it, they recognize God. And they have a confrontation with God. That He does the change, and not because you raised your hand. Just saying, like I said, the church acts like the world. Yeah. Just because you raise your hand in an altar call don't mean you're saved. I see so many people that say they're born again and they live like hell. And I'm going, what's wrong with this picture? When I got born again, I remember the altar call, but no one said anything to me. No one did anything to me. I walked down there by myself. And I was changed. Forever changed. All right, Luke 10. We need to quit being so dead gum nice and so dead gum naive as Christians. We're warriors. I tell you what, if they roll through here and those warriors get off, they're not going to be thinking about if I hurt your feelings or not. I'm here to defend and protect at all costs. And we need to be as radical as that or more so when it comes to the works of the devil. We're not. The church isn't. They're the biggest namby-pamby babies. They can't even get a prayer answer. They have to call CBN or TBS or whatever it is now. I'm telling you, they've never come out of the charismatic era. They go to church because I need something. Never, I'm full and I want to give out. The way the true church setting is supposed to be. All right, Luke 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore, said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Well, yeah. Because really, as far as the Lord is concerned, what he told Oral Roberts in that vision was there's only five ministries and on the whole earth that are obeying in this. Five ministries worldwide. Why? They build a boat, want them to jump in the boat. No, he didn't say go do that. He said go get them. I'll send you on assignments. And when I do, I will equip you. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes and salute no man by the way. Oh, if you don't give in this offering today, we're going to have to shut down. I'm going, you need to shut down. You need to shut down. If that's your number one priority, you need to just shut down. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon you. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborers is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are there, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the dust of your city, which cleaveth to us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. They'll never be able to stand before the Lord and say, nobody told me. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sodom, which had been done in you, they had a great while gone, repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sodom at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrown or thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despises you, despises me. He that despises me, despises him that sent me. When you're rebuffed because you do what the Lord tells you to do, the Lord says if they act ugly to you, they've acted ugly to him. If they won't hear your word, they have not heard his word. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So God equips us to go forth when he tells us to go forth. We see here two different protocols. One, keep your home, relationships, and your fellowship free from the baggage or sin of the world. And then 1 Corinthians 5:11, I'll read that first. But I have written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother, or a fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one do not know not to eat. Right here, when God sends you an assignment into the world, he gives you grace, a special lure, if you will, to catch men. It's like a fisherman going on a fishing trip. One lure does not fit all. There's special lures for special kinds of fish. God will give that to you. All right, what did he tell us to do? What we should be busy about? Not being busybodies in other people's affairs, but taking the gospel. Matthew 28. All right, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That's what he told us to do. Mark 16 shows you his equipment. The goodness of God leads men towards repentance. He gave them protection plus extra things that enticed. It was a lure for the fish, for the men. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Aren't you tired of hearing of these people wishy-washing all around it? Well, whoever you call source, whether it be Buddha, whether it be Muhammad, whether it be, you know, I don't know, all the others. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, as you speak with new tongues, as you'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Men have reversed this, I believe. They take the money they have to buy all kinds of lures for the people to come into the church, but they don't take them out. Like he said, go. I want to read 1 Corinthians 14. I mentioned it a while ago about when an unbeliever comes into the assembly. The assembly is not for unbelievers. We've been taught all our life that's where the lost come in. That's why you have these revivals that everybody hates and doesn't want to go to. I'm going to show you here, 1 Corinthians. I said, Lord, is there anything in the Word that we've learned that's correct? Is there anything? You know, I'm thinking, you have just rerouted everything. Well, it's to be routed His way. All right. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Talking about in the assembly. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and are unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. So through the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, that unbeliever is being dealt with by God. But it's by a supernatural means, not by somebody coming over to you and wanting you to fill out a membership card. This is a supernatural experience. This is not a I'm telling you, I don't make this stuff up. The assembly is for those that are already caught. It is an assembly for training, for reigning. What is that? Learning God's protocols. What He expects of us. What assignments He has for us to do, and get busy doing it. What happens when the world is lured into the church? It becomes the world. That's how you have homosexual churches with homosexual pastors. As Christians, we've been shamed, blamed, and bullied no matter what we do. So I say, they're going to do that anyway. So we better be doing what the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit instructs us to do and no longer try to fit in with the world. We just have become so nice and we just want to appease everyone so they won't get offended. Sounds like the New World Order, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. All right, some more scriptures. Matthew 7:6. Personally, it's never been about the numbers. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. I have all a nice jewelry. I don't just give it away to anybody. If the Lord speaks to me to give a piece away, I do. Why would we give the Word of God to people that have no understanding, that would just toss it off and treat it like it's nothing? Okay, James 4:4. His word is more precious than that. In fact, most of the time, we should be waiting for the Lord to send someone to us. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Just saying. We are not obligated to follow the world, but to follow the Spirit. All right, go back to Matthew chapter 16. I've got a lot of scripture this morning. I want you to see through the scriptures that when you stand your ground and you say no, then you're not intimidated and you don't feel bad, but you know you've done what God expects of you to do. Matthew 16, 24. It's not easy to cut off relationships. I've had to do it with a couple of friends. And of course, they all, I got the blame for it. They railed on me, but I got the blame for it. But I don't regret not having the friendship. Because you know why? You find out who your true friends are. Who cares about you or who doesn't care about you when something like that happens. Thinking, Okay. All right, Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So when you do the right thing, there is a reward for you because you chose to do the right thing. These are God's protocols. Matthew 5. Ye're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, things have got to change. The church has been completely compromised. It's going down. It's part of the swamp now. It's going down. And a lot of the old guard that have done their duty and have their reward are going away. They're going to be with the Lord and receive the reward. So this new church, it's going to be a church that rules with the rod of iron. Just like Jesus said. They will lay down God's law. That's what I pray every day, Lord, that your apostles and prophets will rise up all over the world to lead your people in the true doctrine of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people's mindsets will change for the better, because if their mindsets don't change, we'll have another swamp forming. Now you see why there is a swamp. The church is part of it, unfortunately. One of the biggest responsibilities that we as members of the body of Christ is to keep the devil under our feet. That means out of everything, we are to occupy till he comes. We have become too nice and naive concerning these matters. We used to run with some friends that were Christians, but they were very worldly. And if you dare say anything to them about anything, boy, they throw you right under the bus. Those days are over. Those days are over. They made us feel like we were bad and we were wrong, and we were not. They were. I hope they've awakened. I hope they have. I doubt it, but I hope so. All right, 2 Corinthians 6. It's kind of like that triangle of the end. There's no more the broad way for a Christian. Riding the fence, never making a commitment, never deciding to do what they need to do. Now, it's either you're on the tightrope or you're in darkness. I mean, the squeeze is there. The pressure is there. It's greater than it's ever been. Now, you know what it's doing? It's like birth. It's squeezing us out. We'll come out on the other side. And we'll be those, he'll say, well done. I knew you could do it. So take heart. This isn't a downer. This is just a defined line that as Christians we're to walk. We may not have been taught that way, but that is the truth nonetheless. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? See, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you're sitting with the ones that are doing the things they shouldn't do and everything, God is in you. He don't want to sit among them either. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Pretty plain there, isn't it? All right, go back to 1 Corinthians 5. When the church began, you know why God has now appointed 12 apostles? Because they had to lay down doctrine for all the new believers. Some of them were coming out of the Jewish ways, and others didn't have any ways but heathen ways. All right. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. So they were just accommodating it. Well, they're young, and well, They make excuses for them. Accommodate them. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What's the purpose of this? God's looking for true repentance. Not a smooth over, well, you know. We have put up with too much. Your glorying is not good. Know ye that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? The church I worked at, the pastor had these people coming to him saying, we're having all these thoughts of having affairs and adultery. What's going on here? He found out that one of his ministers counseled a woman without his wife present, and they had an affair. And it started infiltrating all through the church. Your glory is not good. Know ye not the little leaven, leaven the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle to not company with fornicators. That's any kind of sexual sin. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetousness, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. So he gets an exception going into the world on assignments. But as far as your relationships, no. Your fellowship, no. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Seems harsh, doesn't it? In fact, I can see nowadays them being slapped with a lawsuit for doing that very thing. To the politically correct church today, this would seem to be harsh. It would probably result in a lawsuit, and Paul would have to been thrown in jail again. That's what is up when the church is no longer holy, but worldly. They've been infiltrated from within. He was taking apostolic oversight in this situation, and he corrected them, and he told them what to do. All right. All right, Acts 5. Here's another. Peter, the Apostle Peter, had to take some oversight. That'd probably put him in jail for this, too. All right, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast lied unto men, not unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear fell on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And then great fear came upon all the church, upon as many as heard these things. See, they were in awe of the church because of God's power operating in it, that you couldn't get by with the things you do out in the world, not in the church. We're the body of Christ. People should not be comfortable to be able to sin in our presence. Well, they are, because they've been accommodated. Okay, what about that? Wow, that would have put Peter in prison for murder. The church must return to being able to govern themselves according to God's protocols, not the world's protocols, not socialism. The ungodly culture has so infiltrated that no one wants to offend anyone for fear they will leave and take the tithes and offerings with them. Go, if you don't believe me, just go watch church programs and see how much time is spent on offerings and selling books and selling tapes and advertising their ministry, and how much actual time is actually used to bring in the word. In this upside down world, they call evil good and good evil. That's Isaiah 50 or 5. Listen, I'm going to look at that. Isaiah 5. Where did you go, Isaiah? He snuck out. He said, this is even tough for me to hear today. Well, dang. There he is. 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty in drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against him and has smitten them. And the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. You know, I read the Bible through every year, and I just finished the book of Jeremiah, and I'm in the book in Lamentations, and now I'm in Ezekiel. All this is about Israel sinning with the very things we're dealing with today in this culture. All that's what that's all about, and how God would put up with it for as long as he could put up with it, and then he would say, okay, you're going into exile. If you comply to your conqueror, I'll let you live. But if you resist, you'll die. I mean, he just had enough was enough. I was listening to something last night. It was very fascinating. I had never heard this before. And I said, well, Lord, what do you say about this? This man, he's had some series on flat earth, very good series on flat earth, and this is a continuation. But he says he was showing all these pictures of all these elaborate cathedrals and all this fancy architecture that we see even in Washington, D.C., massive, huge structures that are so perfect and everything. He said, we've been lied to about our past. And he said, there was a reset in the 1800s. And he said, you can tell because you saw cities, picked photographs of cities, and there's nobody there. We're talking cities that held millions of people and nobody's there. But then you see pictures later in the 1800s where people are in the streets and everything, and you see all these elaborate buildings, but when you see their structures, it looks like tents and shacks, and they don't have the technology that they could to have done these cities. But one thing that was interesting, he begins to show the cathedrals and all the domes and all the spires and all these things were actually conduits because the earth is magnetic. And that's what the Tesla energy is based off of. Tesla was onto something. And he said all these things were built to let electricity in, and it was free energy everywhere. These people were beyond us. And he said, and these people didn't serve the devil either. Now, I don't want to cause the reset to happen. And I don't know all the details about everything. I'm asking the Lord about it. But I thought, I have known they have lied to us about everything. And what they put in the history books is not correct. Fake history sits on top of fake news. Or the other way around. Yeah, fake news sits on the top of fake history. So I thought, isn't that amazing? Because don't you see these structures. And he also noticed that a lot of these buildings, a lot of their windows are down below under the ground. And he said, in every picture you see muddy streets, like there was flood, earthquake, and all these pictures. These are all nations around this time in the 1800s. Like something cataclysmic happened. He said, I think it was some sort of reset. I'm thinking, there is no telling how many times this has happened over and over and over again. The devil has done the same old stuff since Genesis 3, over and over and over. And they've hidden it from us. They have hidden the facts. They've made these cathedrals, well, these are churches. These are churches, and these are places, and they separated all the religions to bring division. And they covered over the things that were essential in this conduit and all these things. He has all the terminology, I don't. But it was fascinating. I thought, now that's something I can believe. That's something that looks viable and true. We are here, aren't we? Well, this same worldly thinking is now in the church. What does God's protocol say about suing? Suing, okay. 1 Corinthians 6. I told the Lord, I said, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth about all of it. All right, 1 Corinthians 6:6. by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by unfeigned love. Huh? Oh, I'm in 2 Corinthians. Sorry. Oh, Lord. All right. Sorry. But brother goeth the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law with one another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? We're the soonest bunch of people there ever was on the face of the earth. Nay, you do wrong and defraud in that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So what's Paul saying here? He wants us to, there's a way that you handle things like that. You let God do your fighting for you and not your arm of flesh. Okay, just think of this, homosexual churches with homosexual pastors, yeah. 1 Peter 5:8 talks about Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Okay, now turn to Romans chapter 16. Verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. I was thinking about the movie The Hunger Games, how the people, the common people, they lived in abstract poverty. They had to, you know, had a rifle to shoot their food. And if they were caught out hunting, they could be arrested. But the city was lavish, rich. Looks like the way they want it to be. And they had them fight under the dome. And they had computer-generated images and stuff. I mean, it was like the woman that wrote this series, The Hunger Games, I think she was seeing some things about our nation and the agenda. Okay, 1 John 2. So many of the movies do project that. They also project false narratives. All right, 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 6, I just read that, and that was 1 Corinthians. Now go to 2 Corinthians 6. All right, I already read that to you. That's not being equally yoked with unbelievers. I guess I just wrote that down twice. Did I read that to y'all? Yeah, okay, I thought so. All right, Ephesians 5, I just read that one to you. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're to be kind to each other, but we're to be harsh when dealing with sin and anything that might try to infiltrate and compromise, because the devil sets traps. See, that's how he infiltrates from within. As we started this out, your home, your relationships, your church. When dealing with people, this is what God wants to see. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting with verse 1 there. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. To sufficient to such a man is this punishment. He's talking about the man that was taken in incest, which was inflicted of many. So that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Jesus Christ, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So there come a time that whenever Paul was sensing that the man had learned, what'd they do? They shunned him. They kicked him out of the fellowship. But not so long that he would completely lose his way and die and go to hell, but that he had repented with true godly repentance and then was welcomed back into the fellowship. This is something that has caused our world and the church to be in the condition that is it currently in as a whole. No accountability. Because as the church goes, so goes the world. You know, we've heard, you know, as the United States goes, so goes the world. Well, I think it's as the church goes, so goes the world. Because who is the hope of the world? Jesus. And he's in us. All right, 2 Chronicles 7:14. This says it all right here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. God's not going to hear the prayers of a church that's completely infiltrated with the world. So he says, if the world will repent. No, he said, if my people will repent. That means that the church will clean herself up. She's the city on the hill. She's the light. We're not to put our light under a bushel. The devil wants to infiltrate from within, starting in the home, starting in relationships, and in the fellowships. That way, that light gets extinguished, and nobody comes to know the Lord, and the devil wins. The gospel doesn't get taken anywhere. All right, a few more scriptures here. God's people are the example because we are supposed to be a city on a hill. All right, 1 John 1:9. Like I said, we need to quit being so nice and loosey-goosey concerning these things. Just keeping our mouths shut. Just let it ride. Now, I believe we're supposed to listen to the Lord. Get his instruction. I don't think we're supposed to go off on a loose cannon, but I do believe that we are to hear how we are to keep the devil out. All right. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You want to know why there's no power in the church today? Well, now you know. Proverbs 28:16. And I don't mean having a heyday at church. I'm talking about taking it to the streets and seeing the things that, that the apostles did. That's what I'm talking about. Where people step back and go, whoa, they're the, you know, they've been with Jesus. You know, that they're actually, they think they are different. They're not, we can't tell you from anybody else because you act just like us. Ain't got no power. Proverbs 28:16. We need to be like Daniel, where they're seeking us out. We've got a naughty problem here. Can you pray and help us out? All right, what did I tell you? 16. Proverbs 28:16. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. A man that doeth violence in the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Yeah. All right, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent there means to change your mind for the better. All right, Acts 17:30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This is that time, like no other. It's time. It's time for men to repent. It's time to quit this foolishness. It's time to either go on and serve the Antichrist or serve God. Very clearly defined. Okay, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. All right, here is a kind of a summary of what I've said to you this morning. The assembly is a place for training for believers. If you feel you know someone that might like to be in this, then you let me know and I'll ask the Father about it. I don't want just anyone here. Many are not ready for this. This is not about numbers. It never has been. You need me to read it again? The assembly is a place for training for believers. If you feel you know someone that might like to be in this, then let me know and I will ask the Father about it. I don't want just anyone here. Many are not ready for this. Extra supernatural bait is provided to us when we take the gospel into all the nations. In other words, when God sends us on an assignment. If an unbeliever comes, God will take care of it supernaturally, not with endless invitations or asking them to expose themselves. And I don't mean that in that wrong way. God will expose the condition of their heart. They are not coerced in any way. This is God's doing, and everyone knows it, especially the person. We are to very harshly and relentlessly we're to be very harsh and relentless concerning Satan and his works and keeping it out of our homes, out of our anything, our relationships, our home, our church. Okay. Okay, this is a good one. One pan skillet. One pan enchilada skillet.
There you go.
It got clipped to the bottom of my teaching. Hey, I'm multitasker here.